I'm Pat Morrison. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger likes to think of himself as the green governor, and to that end, his administration has announced an agreement for sequestering carbon, capturing carbon in forestry practices with Sierra Pacific. That would mean more than 1 million tons of carbon dioxide would not be released into the atmosphere because of the agreement to sequester, to keep from cutting down a lot of trees in the well-forested parts of California. There's a question about whether or not these things accomplish what they would like to, but this agreement is a done deal. The California Air Resources Board is aboard, and so is Climate Action Reserve and other environmental groups. Ed Murphy is the manager of resource inventory systems for Sierra Pacific Industries. It's the second largest lumber producer in the U.S. and the biggest private landowner in California. Mr. Murphy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So what's in this agreement for Sierra Pacific?
Well, what this agreement represents is an ability for us to take part of what we are doing in terms of carbon removal from the atmosphere and offer it as an economic and cost-effective offsets for folks who will have to reduce their greenhouse footprint over the next 10 to 20 years in terms of cap-and-trade programs the state's embarking on.
So this means that somebody who wants to use up some carbon emissions can go to you and say, we're buying your carbon sequestration in exchange for our pollution or our practices that use carbon.
Yeah, that's correct, although I wouldn't refer to it as necessarily additional or pollution in the sense that carbon dioxide is part of a cycle. We happen to be part of the natural portion of that cycle. And when they purchase a carbon offset ton from us, they will be actually already having a ton removed from the atmosphere so that their ton is not considered additional or not causing the potential climate change that carbon is associated with.
So what kind of forest and how much of it are you preserving, and what kind of forest and how much of it can you cut down?
Under the protocol, the terminology wouldn't necessarily be preserve. We are mathematically accounting under the protocol for additionality, which is our management causes more carbon to be sequestered from the atmosphere over time.
Does that mean planting trees?
That's certainly part of it, yes. Reforestation and ongoing stocking control, spacing, making trees healthier and growing faster is part of what we're offering in this program to cause more carbon to be removed from the atmosphere in a period of time than would have occurred without the program.
Does this mean you have to reduce the number of trees, the acreage, the areas that you can now cut?
No, it means we have to manage them more carefully, and also once we sell an offset ton of increased carbon in the woods, the true commitment that's involved in this process is that we have to maintain that carbon out of the atmosphere for the next 100 years.
Gary Garreau joins us, too, the president of the Climate Action Reserve. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
We were just hearing Mr. Murphy explain some of the details for this. This doesn't mean that there will be fewer trees cut down. There may be more trees planted. What's the advantage of this protocol?
Well, the real advantage is that we will be able to demonstrate to an independent body that, in fact, there are more trees, bigger trees, older trees on the land, that the commitment that players like Sierra Pacific Industries and others are making is to actually increase the stocking of trees on their land, increase carbon storage on their land over, as Ed pointed out, a 100-year period. And that is, that will require a deep commitment to a change in management practice that will result in more bigger and older trees on the land.
So you're saying that trees that would have been cut down before will not be cut down now?
That's right. The protocol, in effect, will require that the management practice change from business-as-usual circumstances, from current practices, to improved management practices, and that means longer rotation ages, which means not cutting every 20 years, but under our protocol, every 50 years, and those trees will grow up and there'll be more of them on the land.
This protocol allows for clear cutting of stands of up to 40 acres in size. How is that different from what has been happening before, Mr. Garreau?
Well, this is a protocol that applies on a national scale, so while it does allow for that kind of management practice, that is consistent with California law, That is an example of California's environmental leadership being translated across the country. And so that is the most, under any circumstance, that you could in fact clear-cut in California.
And what was the maximum before?
That is still the maximum. This hasn't changed California law at all. In fact, forest owners will still be subject to more stringent laws should there be more stringent laws.
Mr. Murphy, the carbon sequestration we're talking about, if a company comes to you for a carbon exchange, will you plant more trees, or has that deal in a sense already been cut?
Well, this first announcement is a process that we have dedicated 60,000 acres to, and is already an arrangement to a third party who is going to be the actual seller. But, of course, all of the tons that are being sold will have to be registered through the Climate Action Reserve and be verified by a third party. So the reserve acts as essentially the clearinghouse for the verification process. And in this particular case, Sierra Pacific just won't be selling them directly to folks. They'll be selling them through a third party.
And so, Mr. Garreau, the Climate Action Network or Climate Action Reserve is going to be monitoring and handling these exchanges?
That's right. We write not only the rules for how you quantify how much carbon has been stored in the forest lands, but then we actually oversee independent third party, essentially audit firms. We call them verifiers. We train and accredit them, send them out into the forest, and actually conduct the inventory and measure how much carbon has been stored over the past year, and then based on that information, issue credits and track the transaction of those credits over time. And it's always only done on what's called an ex post basis. So it's only credits that have actually been generated on the land, not something that might be modeled or predicted in the future.
Mr. Garreau, there's been criticism that earlier versions of this program didn't allow the kind of clear-cutting practices that are going on and will still go on, that essentially Sierra Pacific is going to be doing, as we heard Mr. Murphy allude to, essentially what it's doing now when it comes to some of the cutting practices.
That's absolutely incorrect. The previous version of our protocol was silent on the issue, but it reflected California law, and this is allowable under California law. What this version of the protocol does is take California law and apply it nationally, and that is the most significant change in the protocol, is that it was previously only California and based on California practice, and we've now taken California's most stringent rules around clear cutting, and California does have the most stringent rules in the United States, and now applied them in 49 other states. And so we'll see actual limitations on clear cutting as a result of this protocol, not increases.
How can California limit what's going on in other states?
It's a voluntary measure. Those folks who wish to apply for California Climate Action Registry certification have to follow the protocol as written for here. So they would have to come up to this standard to be able to apply for offsets. And I should point out that, you know, the thought that SPI is doing what it did in the past is very, very incorrect. I mean, the 100-year commitment, there was never any requirement for us to hold and maintain these increased stocks for the next century. This new program is actually, as Gary points out, a significant long-term commitment to the maintenance and protection of the atmospheric CO2 that's involved by requiring a 100-year process of monitoring and verification that those tons are kept out of the atmosphere over that time period. So that's really what represents the significant change. It is that we are practicing similar to what we did in the past, but what comes different is the promise that volume, that increment of volume and carbon that's removed from the atmosphere is guaranteed to be out of the atmosphere for a century.
We're talking about the governor's office announcing an agreement with Sierra Pacific to sequester trees and the carbon dioxide that they contain with a carbon capture, and a kind of part of the governor's cap and trade program in which he wants to emphasize environmental advancements in California. This would involve the voluntary compliance of other states as well. You can call us with your questions about the project at 866-893-5722. That number is 866-893-KPCC, or tell us what you're thinking on the Pat Morrison blog at kpcc.org. Mr. Murphy, what kind of trees are we talking about here? How old and what sort?
In our case, most of our projects and most of our land is in what's called the Sierra Nevadas, so it's mixed conifer. We have five major conifer species. In addition, in our particular case, as one of the co-benefits of our projects, we also are beginning a process. Our first project area includes a significant amount of giant sequoia, which, as you know, is a unique and special species, mostly in parks in California. We are going to be doing some work with a retired University of California geneticist, Dr. Bill Libby, to begin a program to adapt the giant sequoia as an adaptation system. We're going to be planting it in places where it currently does not exist, but inside of its normal or at least its historic range, to be able to produce stands of giant sequoias and in this process actually conserve the gene pool of giant sequoias in face of climate change.
So, and are these the trees that require centuries and centuries to grow?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And our intention is to plant them with our existing forest mix, and then as we go on to manage our forest that surrounds them, these trees will be left in perpetuity.
Mr. Garreau, from your point of view, the Climate Action Reserve, is there going to be a net increase in the number of trees that that we're talking about sequestering carbon here?
Absolutely. That is the minimum requirement of the protocol. The protocol is very clear that regardless of management practice on the land, forest owners are required through our program to increase the storage of carbon on their property over time, and that is verified. And I will say that, you know, these are rules that we didn't write back in our offices in a cubicle, but are actually part of a two-year public stakeholder process that included the environmental community, the Nature Conservancy Environmental Defense Fund, at the table negotiating these rules to make sure that they are, in fact, protective of the environment so that we can actually engage private landowners such as Sierra Pacific to be part of the solution to climate change, you know, to achieve the kind of goals that we have set forth, which are significant, 80 or 90% reduction by 2050. We're going to need every sector of the economy participating, and privately held forest lands that are working forests that can be engaged using our rules is a significant achievement, and I think it's to be applauded.
Mr. Garreau, there's some question as to whether preservation and even planting can keep up with the increased amount of pollution in the atmosphere that needs to be sequestered, the CO2. Is it possible that the tree planting, that programs like this, can even begin to get ahead of the pollution we're producing?
Well, I think that, you know, to achieve those kinds of reductions, we need, as I said, absolutely every part of our economy engaged in to combat climate change. And so trees are going to be a significant portion, and forest lands can be a significant portion, but they can't do it alone. And so there needs to be reductions at power plants and at refineries, and then at every other level of the economy, in the agricultural sector and industrial sectors. And so this is an economy-wide, multi-generational battle that we have against global warming, and the forests are the first out, because in order to get forests participating, all that's really required is the significant commitment to change management practices, and that's something that can be done today, and that is something that's being done today, as evidenced by this deal. As we work towards an energy revolution to fundamentally transform our energy economy, These are things that we can do today, and we should start doing them today.
We have a question from Carol in Encino, a practical question. Carol, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, what happens to the accounting process when you have a forest fire and all that, all those carbon offsets go up in smoke and carbon?
That's an excellent question, and we devised essentially an insurance pool against forest fire, against disease, against pest damage, wind damage, and so all projects are required as part of their participation in our program to actually contribute a portion of the credits into this insurance pool, and all projects will, in effect, have a group insurance that'll mitigate against those things. So when a fire occurs, we will go out, we'll measure how much carbon has been lost, and we'll be able to take credits out of the pool to backfill the loss of those credits.
And Mr. Murphy, you were going to say?
Well, I was just going to add something to the last point, but yes, the buffer pool is a significant contribution, and the idea being that as projects are spread around the whole landscape, no individual project will, no collection of projects will ever be affected in that, to that degree, so the buffer pool will work just fine to keep the offsets, you know, viable and accountable.
Mr. Murphy, I would like to ask you now, under these protocols, does Sierra Pacific stand to lose money on actual logging? And if so, will it be made up in tax credits or carbon credits or some other fashion?
The logging, the conventional logging systems will still be, you know, driven by the economy. Right now, it's tough to sell lumber either way, but in a normal, regular year, we will be able to still operate our business in that regards. What really comes as a result of this protocol is, as Gary pointed out, a significant increase in on-site stocking in the woods that will be protected for that century. I might just to add one thing to your other question about how this will work in the overall general economy. Gary's right. The world is going to have to make changes in the way we consume and produce CO2. And that in that context, there are obviously great and important technological advances that will have to come to help us get to a more carbon, less carbon-intensive economy. What's really important about these offsets in the near term is that there are industries, many of them may not be able to innovate fast enough to actually reduce their carbon footprint, but their core industry, steel, windows, things like that that take lots of fossil fuel to actually make, and there aren't really good current alternatives, even technologically, in the near future. So as we make these decisions to reduce our footprint, the offset market becomes a very important piece of the economic future to be providing viable and cost-effective offsets for some of what we see now as very, very difficult technological problems.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. Ed Murphy, the Manager of Resource Inventory Systems for Sierra Pacific Industries, and Gary Garreau, President of the Climate Action Reserve, the main carbon registry for the North American carbon market, talking about a new deal Sierra Pacific signed, a protocol with the California Air Resources Board governing sequestration of carbon in